Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me in the studio is Amy Anderson. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
Production Coordinator. And Adam Coons, Portfolio Manager. How are you?
Doing well.
It's a holiday.
It is.
Columbus Day. So which markets are closed? Bond markets closed.
Bond markets are, but equity markets are still open.
Equity markets are still open. So normally, this would be a time where my wife and I would go out and look at the changing leaf colors. I'm like, wow, it's still green.
Yeah,
this happened
yesterday.
This happened last year, and so it's like I don't know the science behind it. So that's why I went into investments and finance. I just was not into science. I literally, when I was in college, first day of school, I had zoology class. The professor assigned homework, and I was like, I'm just not into this. So I dropped the class. But anyway, the leaves aren't turning colors, and I don't understand the science behind it. But normally, this would be the time to look at changing leaf colors, but we still have summer. So that's a good thing. All right, Adam. So a couple of things. So let's talk about what's going on. I want to talk about China, but I also want to first, because they're related, I want to talk about what's going on with the disconnect between what's going on in stocks, stock prices, and the underlying fundamentals. And so a couple of weeks ago, Costco said that they are going to take more control over their import, their supply chain. And so they've chartered ships to try to be more efficient getting goods out of China and East Asia into the United States. Walmart came out on Friday and basically said the same thing. So we're seeing more and more retail. And the impact is really on the holiday shopping season. If it's not on the ground in the United States this week, it's not going to be on the shelves for Christmas. And I think we are going to see some disruption in terms of what holiday shopping is. I think it's set up to be a really ugly holiday shopping season if people can't buy. Electronics have, last 10 years have been the number one gift, and you can't get them.
There was a lot of focus on whether the consumer could just financially buy things, but I don't think that's the issue at all. It's holiday season. Kids may not get what they want because it's on back order.
Well, that was growing up in the Han house. Was we got a lot of IOUs at Christmas. But it wasn't because of supply chain disruption. Got slips of paper. I'm still scarred from that. The other issue, though, as it relates to the supply chain, is what's going on in the auto industry. So I don't see how this ends well. But if every one of you listening looks at the car lot down the street from where you live, there are all the car lots across America are empty. There are no cars. Yep. The lead time to get cars, I was talking to a buddy, said he ordered a Volvo. He said the dealer said we've got one coming in October and we've got one coming in November. You can't scale, right? No, so the lead time on some of these auto sales are so long, but because they can't get supplies and chips, they're cutting production runs.
Yep.
So Ford's already announced at the end of June, they announced they're cutting production. So you've got this dislocation. At some point, it has to hit revenue. And at the same time, we've got this labor shortage, so they can't get assembly line workers. So we're going to see pressure on wages, which is going to be margin pressure. So we've got, I don't see how the stock price has discounted this decline. And this is not going to go away in 6 months.
Not at all.
Ford's trading pretty much near 50, it's 52-week highs.
It is, yeah.
It's down in the low 15s, and it hit 1630, I think. And so this is across a number of different industries, but I think the hit in revenue is going to be real.
Yeah.
But the stock prices don't really reflect that. So
what was interesting is Tesla, though, had a record number of deliveries. So somehow they're able to fulfill their supply chain where Ford and GM cannot. I think a big piece of it is the different types of technology that Tesla uses.
Yeah.
And one chip maker came out and said that the old domestic automakers needed to update their systems because one of the issues is the fact that they're using a very arcane version of chipsets that makers don't really want to make anymore. So they're not willing to increase their capacity to fill that demand. So you're right. It's going to be here for a while.
So there's a consulting firm called Alex Partners. They put out a report recently that indicated 77 million vehicles worldwide. Our production is down by 77 million because of the chip shortage. That's 10%. And it's going to bleed into next year.
Right.
And so...
I mean, if you look at used car prices, because I've been kind of just looking just for no reason, but... I mean, used cars that are only, 2 years old are almost selling at the same price that a new car would sell for. Because like you said, if you need a new car, you're forced to go buy a used car.
Wow.
So you're paying up.
The stock price doesn't reflect what's going on in the underlying fundamentals. So at some point, this is kind of our theme in building in defense into portfolios heading into the end of the year. We want to make sure that we've got our positions built before Thanksgiving. The other thing that I wanted to raise was this issue around China, and there's been a lot being written about China and the arbitrary change in its regulatory and you can't trust them and what's going on. And I was doing some research this weekend, and we've written about this over the years, but. Great Britain controls Hong Kong for over 100 years. Great Britain won Hong Kong, which was a deserted island back in the mid-1800s as part of the settlement for the Opium Wars. And so Hong Kong was raised under British rule as a democracy. So picture this. You've got 100 years of democratic rule and capitalism under the British laws. And then in 1997, Margaret Thatcher turns Hong Kong over to China with the promise that they'll run it as two separate systems and they'll run it in place for 50 years. Well, what we're seeing right now is basically China saying, we're not doing this democracy thing.
Yeah.
And then following the Tiananmen Square in 1989, all the pro-democracy protests, China actually opened up to more liberal views of the input from the people. So you have taking control of Hong Kong. You have the Tiananmen Square protests. And what we're really seeing right now is just basically a more traditional form of Communist Party rule that is taking us back to Mao Zedong. And it's actually... In that context, it makes total sense. It doesn't mean, in our minds, that the China is going to abandon its large companies. In fact, I think it's just the opposite. They want large companies to compete on the world stage.
Mm-hmm.
They just want the Communist Party to come first, and the entrepreneurs that grew up in Hong Kong under this
to play by the rules.
They need, and I think you look at those two things in the context of what's going on and just basically getting the businesses to fall in line. But I don't see this as something that's punitive towards Chinese companies long term. I think this is just setting the stage for what the next chapter in how their Communist Party looks and then what happens worldwide with how they compete, not only with the U.S., but... In a global so the global balance of power, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I agree. I think that this is a point in time where, as you said, I think a lot of these companies became a little bit too powerful, and it started with Jack Ma basically just kind of running his mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably set a new precedent that, hey, this has gone a little too far.
Yeah,
and that's pretty typical for China. You've seen it over the past 30 years where they'll let things run, and then, like you said, they'll pull it back. And I think that's just the phase we're in right now.
So to put this into context, in 2021, China has the second largest number of billionaires. They have 698 billionaires behind the U.S., which has 724. So, I mean, the fact that the Chinese...
You're getting close.
I mean, that's really impressive.
That is impressive.
So I think what the Communist Party is saying, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You got to remember that the party comes first, and then you get to become a billionaire.
Right.
So what else? Anything else?
Yeah, so on the equity side, we got earnings coming up, and which seems like this last quarter went so quick that we're already back into it. But this week we get a lot of the big banks, JP Morgan, BAML, Citi, Morgan Stanley are all this week. So, you know, obviously with rates higher and the curve steepening a bit, that should be better for earnings. But those investment banking earnings with new issuance have been lighter. So we'll have to see. But overall, it's expected that revenues and earnings will grow by 6% year over year. So I guess we'll have to see. But I think this is going to be an interesting earnings season, especially the outlook with, like you said, supply chains and how this holiday season is going to unfold.
So back in the 70s, and I think this was Toyota but it's Japanese manufacturers in the 70s, really rewrote the book on inventory management. And we got into this just-in-time inventory. And every manufacturing company adopted it so that they weren't having to spend excess capital and storage space and, you know, on inventory that if they could just get it in the door the same day, they could manufacture, so they cut lead times on all of these components and supply chains. And this is the world. And what we're seeing right now is the disruption of those supply chains. And now management, I think, is really rethinking because of the risk that they have in trying to get components. They don't have plan B.
No.
So my concern, Adam, is that as we go through normalizing supply chains and management realizes that they need to have plan B as we're going to have excess capacity.
Yeah.
So part of this is building capacity here in the United States for manufacturing and storage of some of these, you know, to manage through the supply chain. So it's going to be interesting to see what lessons are learned through this process.
Absolutely.
But just anyway, okay, so anything else that on your plate? It's going to be a quiet week.
It is, yeah.
And we're heading into the end of the fourth quarter, so the theme for us is defense and building defense into portfolios and watching for any illiquidity spikes heading into the second or the end of the year. So, well, with that, thank you. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you during the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2021, Winthrop Capital Management.